What do you think was happening on the cross that day? Somebody beside him said, we deserve to die because we are sinners. You don't deserve to die. Jesus looked at him and said, for this man to get the revelation, he's ready for salvation. That is the requirement for salvation, to believe and trust that you don't deserve it. I believe God opened his eye to get it. For you not to be deserving of this death, yet you are dying, that means there is something more to you. You say, okay, remember me in your kingdom. For you to catch the revelation this day, he leaped from darkness into light. You know, on the cross, it was a description of self-righteous people and those who will trust in his grace. Last week, we talked about some things, but as I kept meditating, I knew that the Lord wanted me to talk about sustaining the glory part 2 and re-emphasize some things we said. Re-emphasize some things. And so, I want to talk about 2 major reasons why the glory of God does not stay in people's lives. You know, of course, in our own dispensation, the Holy Ghost does not come and go. But the Holy Ghost can be dormant. He can be there, but dormant. He doesn't leave and come and go, or leave and come. Jesus said, I will give you another comforter who will abide with you forever. So even those times where you feel like the Holy Ghost was not there, or your spiritual life was down, or your walk with God was down, the Holy Ghost was there. Are you with me? The glory of God was there. The power of the age to come was there. Even when you not feel like it, he was there. So, but what can we do to ensure that he is not just there, but we experience him being here? Are you with me? Because you see, God is everywhere, but he does not manifest everywhere. Are you following me? God is everywhere, but his glory does not manifest everywhere. Two simple things. Number one, one of the first ways to cut short the flow of the glory of God. You know, before I mention that, do you realize that in the New Testament, the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. That means he's alluding to the fact that the move of the Spirit can be like fire and you can quench it. You can quench it. Then in other times, he says, grieve not the Spirit. The Holy Ghost can be grieved. And when he's grieved, you know when you are, how you are when you are grieved. You just squeeze your face. People just know that, this person is not so excited about what's happening. The Holy Ghost can be grieved. And his flow, his glory, may not be as strong as when you first experienced it. So what are the things? Number one, let me put it in the way you know it. Sin. And I will not just say sin. I will say filthiness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Filthiness. A young man once shared a story. Spiritual guy, man of God, like myself, praying in tongues, fire. Then one of his birthdays, he was so excited. The girl he was dating, which he eventually married, came to see him. He was so excited because of the gift she sent to him, and he just ran and kissed her. And after doing that, he felt a cut in his spirit, like, did you hear what I said? He felt like somebody just cut him inside, like, what did they do? And while she was all in the emotional high, oh, are you serious? Oh, that was so romantic. The guy was like, hey, I don't enter wahala. I have entered. At least he was sensitive enough to know that he has entered problem. I've been meditating on the scripture recently. The Bible says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And I've always wondered, everybody has an ear. What do you mean? In the Spirit, not everybody has an ear. Are you what I'm saying? In the Spirit, your ears are not just given to you. They are developed. And how are they developed? They are developed when you learn to pay attention to what the Spirit is saying per time. Have I also seen that scripture in Luke 24 verse 25 that says, O fools, Jesus was speaking, and he said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have said. O fools and slow of heart. There is something you can call being slow of heart. A person is slow of heart when he can feel what God is saying, but it takes him very long to respond. Let me give an example. So you are sleeping in the night and the Holy Ghost, you feel God waking you up to pray. Or you are somewhere with your friends, you are just gisting, and you can just feel God within you telling you, leave them and go and pray somewhere. Or just, you've talked enough, leave this place. You can feel the pull of God within you. You are hearing it in your heart, though,
but you are slow to respond. You are slow of heart. Are you with me? So when a person refuses to respond to that pull inside, he's underdeveloping his spiritual ear. Are you with me? So the more the person responds to when the Holy Ghost is talking, and you see, the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily always speak words. He speaks spirit. Jesus said, the words I speak to you are spirit and their life. So your spirit can pick something, but because your spirit is from God, it can interpret what is being said and give you a message. Are you what I'm saying? So you have to learn to train yourself to hear what the spirit is saying and respond. Let me tell you, if you begin to train yourself, you will discover that God speaks to you every day. God talks to you every blessed day. The problem is, are you hearing? Are you training your inside to hear what the Spirit is saying? When last did you have that feel? Even if it was 5 minutes in tongues, if you obeyed and prayed in tongues, even if you slept off, that you obeyed, you have developed your spiritual ear a little. Are you with me? If you don't obey, you have underdeveloped. It doesn't leave you the same way. If you obey again, you have developed again. A time can come. Everybody can be shouting and making noise. But while you are there, you can be hearing heaven clearly. Because he that has an ear, let him hear. Say amen. Amen. For instance, I have been picking in the spirit that something has... This camp meeting we had, something huge came. Are you with me? You know that, right? And I sense that God is telling me and telling us, all of us, it's time to be closer to me. That's how I felt it. Be closer to me. Be close to me. I want to do something mighty. Be close to me. And the first thing he showed me that makes people fall off the weight of God's glory is sin. God pays attention to every sin. It gets him. Not because he's trying to find fault with you, but because he has died for you and cleared it already. Let me tell you something, eh? Do you know what sin does? Sin is an insult to God's face. Do you remember when Job was to be attacked by the devil? And the devil came and met the Lord and said, does he serve you for nothing? Remember. And what did God say? God said, have you seen a man like Job? There is none that feareth God and escheweth evil like him. In the Old Testament, God was bragging about somebody who was not even born again. Are you with me? So the devil said, don't worry, let me attack him. He will insult, he will deny you and sin against you. That means every time you sin, you give the devil an opportunity to mock God. Did you hear what I said? Every time you fall into, you allow yourself play into iniquity. Of course, there are things that are mistakes. Are you with me? But when you allow yourself, you just allow yourself fall into the realm of iniquity. You have given Satan an opportunity to mock God. There's more I can say about that, but from the very beginning, the Bible says that all that God created, he saw it was good. Adam was brought into the garden. The very first fall from glory was because of sin. The very first fall from glory about Adam and Eve and all mankind was because of sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you with me? I can stop there, but when you study the Bible, you will keep seeing the same pattern. Let me tell you why I'm saying this. I'm not teaching it just because I want to teach it. God is showing me in the spirit how that when people experience supernatural encounters, one of the things the devil does not too long after that encounter is to bring opportunities to sin. Until you start being ruthless about certain things, you will not grow. How much is the quote? 3K. So don't worry. Tell God 6K. Tell God 6K. 6K. Then you meet your guy. It's not 6,000 naira. No, Allah, no, Allah. He will send you the money. You go to the market. People will be swearing on their lie. You see, people will be swearing on their lie. They will say, between me and God, this thing I buy him 5K. Now, because of you, I sell him 4,800. Say, this thing I 5,000. And you know you not buy it for 5,000. You know you bought it for 3,000. If you are here and you are like that, change. Are you what I'm saying? If you're following me online and hearing me, change. Do you know the weight of the spirit realm is not as carefree as we think? The spirit realm is not as carefree. Somebody came and stole one time in church and we caught him. And I told him something. I said, if we were stealing from the church the way you are planning to steal and the way you stole, you will not find anything to steal. All those things where is not your own. You know, when I talk to ministers who are close to me, I said, if the church has not particularly said and the church leadership has not particularly said this is your own, don't collect what is not your own. Are you what I'm saying? If you are here and you play the above games, you know what you are doing, eh? The Bible says, he that does wickedly against the covenant, forsaketh his own mercy. Meaning, when you start playing games like that, the very times where God now wants to bless you, you are making your journey longer. Let me give you an example. Do you know about the man called David? King David in the Bible. Interestingly, Pastor David is talking about King David. Glory. Think about the life of David. You were 17 years old. You had no ambition. You were just in the wilderness or in the bush, taking care of your father's sheep and your father's oxen and all of that. And God, by his sovereign will, not because of anything you did, just looked at you and said, I have found David my servant. I will anoint him with oil. Picked you. And the glory of God rested upon you. From then you became a star. You killed Goliath and all that. But Saul and the politics in the palace will not let you become king. So you had to run. And for 13 years, David was on the run. Do you know what that means? At some point, Saul went out with 10,000 men to kill David. At some point, they caught David. The only way David could escape was that David pretended like he was mad and fell into mud and was acting like a madman. And so they said he has run mad and they left him alone. That was if you study the Bible, you know, when we talk about these people, it looks fresh, like they were fresh. If you study the Bible, David became an Agboru. It was where we call Cave Adullam now. Every spiritual group, we are in Adullam. It's not the Adullam the way you think it is. Oh, it was a cave of people who know get broke people, confused people, people that don't have future. That was David. That was his life. And he was there. And after 13 years of running, God orchestrated everything and he became king. And after years of becoming king, now glory has come. David was a big man. Where did Agbada? David was now the general of the army. Think about a guy that was struggling on the streets of Abuja or struggling in Oshodi. Say, you know the way they say it in Lagos now? Oshodi beggar. They will squeeze like 15 names at once in one mouth. Oshodi beggar, Olowe beggar, beggar, beggar. Then, okay, if it's in Abuja, Massacre Maraba Kado, they'll squeeze Massacre Maraba and Kado in one mouth. Imagine God lifts a man like that, and now you move on the street of Abuja with an envoy. Police is here, soldiers are there. When you come now, yes, sir, you have a 10 bedroom duplex. What kind of, you are now a big man. That was David's life. So big that David had enough generals. He could tell himself, I'm not going to war, and the war will go fine. And one of those days, he told Joab, go to war for me. He told Shammah, go to war for me. He told Shimei, go to war for me. I will stay and just relax. You know, the man of God that has been walking, the warrior has been walking. And on that his exalted position, you saw a lady beating. Okay, it was a mistake. Close your eyes and go. Go. Just go. You know, I always think about that story. He had every opportunity to turn back. And there are many of us in that shoe. Maybe somebody following me online in that shoe. They have, let me tell you, that's why it's called work of the flesh. Because it's not just the devil. You have the part to contribute. You wanted to watch pornography, they took lights. You went and owned Jane. Like, God is trying to help your life. You are trying, the network will not be working. You know, went and on the router, bought 5,000 naira extra gig. That means it's not just that it's a mistake. There is a part of your will. Are you following what I'm saying? No, people have asked me, Pastor David, how are you doing this thing? Like, this ministry, are you telling me? People have asked me, are you telling me that you don't? I said, see, and we all get tempted. But the issue is that some of us, we don't wait for number two. When you see red lights, you take off straight. Are you what I'm saying? No, we don't play with something that I know that will destroy the glory. Eh? I've been working with God since 2005. I will not let 5 minutes destroy 20 years. Are you with me? No. There are levels after. Hey, God. There was a time I was playing the keyboard and worship and had an encounter. I opened my eyes. So my eyes were closed naturally. But in the spirit, I saw Jesus standing by my side. And he said, even if you wanted to fall into error, it is too late. The worship was still going on. We were still worshiping. But that's what he said to me. Then he said something else. If you are going to fall into error, it will have to be your decision. And walked away. You know the story about David. What did he do? He sent for the woman. Slept with the woman. Of course, he's king. People say, why did the woman agree? In those days, you can't tell a king no. She can die for saying that. Are you with me? You slept with the woman. That's not enough. You connived and killed her husband. Ah, Jesus. You killed her husband. Let me read something to you. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 26. You know I'm saying this thing? A time will come, you will have the power, you will have the money, you will have all it takes to do all you want, and God will now be watching you. Let's see what he will do. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let's see what he will do. Let's see what she will do. A time will come in your life, you will have the power to defraud somebody. Like, you will have what it takes to defraud people, and nothing will happen. The person cannot do anything about it. And God will be looking, let me see what you will do. A time will come in your life where you can cheat people, eh? And nobody will catch you. The Bible says, and when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. That means, in spite of everything, it's not like she was an adulterer. It's not like she wanted to just flirt with the king. Are you with me? It's not like she just ran off with the king. Verse 27. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. Fetched. David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. Now, nobody knew about this thing, but look at what the Bible says. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. So God was angry. God was like, really? You that I picked, you. Chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city. Oh, God is interested. There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. Verse 2. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. And it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. Verse 4. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own head to dress for the wayfaring of the man, but he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die. Nathan was telling David, God said, I should come and tell you a story. See, there were two men. One had many flocks. One had only one. The rich man had so many flocks. The poor man had nothing. Only this small flock. And this rich man had a visitor. But the rich man said, I don't want to touch my own flocks. Let me go and collect the only flock that this poor man around me has. And you collected it. And David was angry. What kind of man is that? David now said, you know what? The man that has done this thing must surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he had no pity. Sometimes, do you have pity? Think about the person that will be pained by this thing you are doing. Verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus said the Lord of God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Are you seeing what God is saying? That means I put my glory on you. I delivered you. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. And I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Whereof hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be with thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Verse 10. He says, therefore the sword shall never depart from your hand, because thou hast despised me. So God is saying that you did not despise Uriah. It's me you did that thing to. Thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah and the Hittite to be thy wife. Do you know that this thing came to pass? It was because of this prophecy Absalom arose. Till David died. The peace that David was enjoying up until the time of Bathsheba came to an end. From this time henceforth, David was battling with rebellion till his old age. Adonijah arose. Absalom arose. David kept on fighting. The peace that after fighting for 13 years and coming to your place of glory, David, the war started again. At a point, David had to run away. He had to run away from his house. They carried David. He had to run to another city at old age. Another thing the Lord pointed to me for us to deal with is the spirit of worldliness. There is a spirit of worldliness in our generation. It is so thick. You know what worldliness is? You just want to be like the world. Every trend you want to be. What is that? Every trend, from the spurious to the scandalous. Every trend, worldliness. What is it? Don't you remember what the Bible says? You are in the world, but you are not of the world. The glory of God is such a hallowed treasure. When you begin to rise in spiritual things, you discover that worldliness is bitter. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever felt the glory of God so strong on you that you started crying? Has it happened before? Tell me the truth. Is there anything more glorious than that? That means the pleasure that the world offers is actually fake. Praise the Lord. I know that many of us, it may not be sexual. Some people, it's just worldliness. And worldliness sometimes can just mean unseriousness about spiritual things. You just want to. Have you seen that scripture where the Bible says, for with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were given into idolatry. Therefore, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Have you seen that verse? You just have a whole day. A whole day. You don't just want to pray. You don't just want to read your Bible. You just want to watch film, eat popcorn, fried chicken. Just, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody read 1 Corinthians 10 verse 7. So, what is the idolatry here? Let's study this verse. I remember the first time I saw this verse in 2013. I was like, I was looking for the idols there. It says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. When your life has no spiritual significance, God is saying you have made pleasure your idol. When the whole day goes, throughout the whole day, you're on your phone. No time where you put up the phone and makata palata, mandarabashaka, elamambrokopetekete. Instead, the whole day, you are just nothing God. Devotion, morning devotion, you not join. Evening devotion, you not join. Afternoon Bible reading, you not join. Okay, the camp meeting sermons, you not listen to anyone. And that day was a free day. You were just relaxing at home. You ate morning food. You know, I always ask myself, imagine I listen to a sermon every time I eat food. Imagine every time food enters your mouth, the word of God enters your heart. How spiritual do you think you will be? Sometimes it may not even be maybe Bible study or something spiritual. Your mind. What have you read? What have you developed yourself on? God says a person who doesn't have any sense of duty, any sense of purpose, any sense of spiritual investment, you are an idolater. You have made pleasure your own idol. You know, I've said it before. A man without purpose distracts himself with pleasure. A man without direction will distract himself with pleasure. My wife used to tell me that I'm hyper. That pastor doesn't know how to just sit down and do nothing. Do nothing. Even if I'm not doing anything, my hand, my mind is working. It's difficult for me not to do something. When we left school and people say, I'm looking for a job, I said, looking for a job is a job. Idolatry. Just that thing to just. And guess what? Our social media apps are designed to keep you there. They are designed to keep you there. Praise the Lord. So that was all under purity. So I was walking, coming against worldliness. That worldly drive. You know, there's just this thing to just explore. Just hang out with this guy. Just hang out with this girl. Just go somewhere and just eat. Just go somewhere and just, there's nothing wrong. Enjoy yourself if you can. But when we are just hanging out, and nothing is hanging in your spirit. Like, you just want to hang out. We just want to, it's a spirit. You just want to explore. Just date this guy. Don't put yourself to the point where you now ask yourself, what are we? He's asking, what are we? No. You can be friends. When you can eat out once or twice. When every week you are going out to eat. What, at the point, what are we? What are we? He said, no, we are just seeing how it goes. Let's just see how it goes. I'm not saying no hang out, though. But when is at the expense of your walk with God? When's at the expense of your spirituality? Do you want to sustain the glory? Sometimes when I prepare for meetings, sometimes it can be boring. I'll just stay in a place, lock the door, makata palata, in the name of Jesus. Their lives will change. I'll be praying. Lata bradabadaba. That boring experience is for those who will be great. Do you understand? If I want to save my generation, I have to take my roots deep. That takes me to the next thing. The second reason why people don't stay in the glory is prayerlessness. Or let me put it like this, lack of devotion. You know the thing, these rules, there is nobody above it. Look at the life of Jesus. Luke chapter 4. From verse 1 to the end, is the story about how Jesus was moved of the Holy Ghost. He went to the wilderness to fast and pray. 40 days! 40 days! 40 days! Have you done 21 days of prayer and fasting before? Where every day you break in it. How did you feel? Somebody now went for 40 days. After that, Luke chapter 5. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, you will see that Jesus wanted to preach and needed Peter's boat. And so he took Peter's boat and preached. And after using Peter's boat, Peter said, Master, we have toiled all night, we've caught nothing. And Jesus told him, you know what? Cast your net into the deep and you will get a great catch. You will see from verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, and so that they began to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. And Jesus told him in verse 10, jump to verse 10, Jesus told him, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, think about that miracle. Imagine you are the one that told somebody, cast your net into the deep. And the person caught fishes. And his boat began to sink. So much that he had to call his partner to fill up the other boat. What will you do? Won't you walk to your room like this? You know me? God, call me. You know who I am? I'm a man of God. Clear off. But let's look at this man, Jesus. Let's look at him. He finished from there. Look at verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, after he left that place, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, and said, Lord, if thou will, thou can make me clean. Verse 13. And he put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. See verse 14. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Verse 15. So much But everybody read verse 15 with me. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him of their infirmities. So Jesus got to a point in his life and ministry where his fame began to spread. People were hearing about him. The glory began to rest. Are you with me? But see verse 16. If you read it in the other synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, he said they prayed all night. At the time of fame, other people will go and rest. Now look at somebody who at a stretch, he's making me fishes multiply. He's cleansing the lepers. Even some of us, we'll go and rest. I've achieved it. Like, I've hit it. Man, we made. That is the time Jesus is saying he will go and pray all night. You know the funny thing? People have not even healed headache, but they are not praying. There are some people who have not, they've not seen any God, they have not flowed in the supernatural once, and they are not praying. But somebody who is cleansing lepers, commanding the school of fishes to come together, is still praying all night. What are you doing with your life? You are looking at your life. You cannot see the move of God in the things you are doing. Everything is your struggle. And you are still sleeping all night. All day, no prayer. All night, no prayer. No. Nah, that's not the way. Prayerlessness. Lack of devotion. What kind of man is this? What kind of man? At this stage, you are still praying like that. Maybe there is something about prayer that Jesus knows that we need to learn. If you read Acts chapter 6, you will see where the apostles told themselves, it does not make sense. It is not reason that we will leave the word of God and serve tables. So there was a time when they got carried away with sharing food in the church and it was affecting them. They were not having enough time for the word of God and for prayer. They now said, you know what? Well, it's not the reason that we leave the word of God and serve tables. Call for deacons. Let them be in charge of this business. But we will give ourselves to the ministry of the word of God and prayer. That means, according to the apostles, even welfare standing in the way of prayer and the word of God is a distraction. What was so important about the word of God and prayer that they said, you know what? We are not going to get ourselves distracted with welfare. You see this word of God and prayer. That means if a church is all about going to share rice, share food, and we don't have time to pray and to study the Bible, we are distracted. So you need to ask yourself from time to time, what is distracting me? What is distracting me? What is distracting me? What is distracting me? If you will flow in the glory, ask yourself, what is distracting me? This is my spiritual life. 2024 has come and gone. I've not remembered praying consistently every day for 1 week. What is distracting me? What is distracting you? Some of you, put off that phone. Some of you, that's what you need to do. Put off that phone. Some of me, I will sustain the glory. My life shall be marked by the glory. Amen. Let me tell you something. There is a way you will pray. The way to fall out. I remember one day in school, I made up my mind that I'm going to every morning take out time to just cook. After doing it, I went to my mentor's room. As I entered his room, he just looked at me. As I touched the bed, he just looked at me. Then we had a prayer meeting in the evening. He now told everybody, look at this guy, mark him. There's something about him. This guy came and sat on my bed. And I felt an electricity from him flowing to this bed. And he was shocking me on the bed. He said, he told everybody, mark this one, there is power. You can cook this thing that you enter the office. People will look at you and say, no, this one is different. I'm telling you, even in the oil industry where I worked, my MD, a time came when he wanted to make serious decisions. If they want to drop contracts, say, go and call David. He will lock the door. He says, sir, people will not wonder what is going on. Say, take these are the contract papers. David, hold my hands and pray, please. Hold my hands and pray. Before I resigned, I said, sir, I'm about to resign, but God told me you are getting 2 contracts. And it came. So, even in the office, you can be carrying glory. Are you with me? Say after me in the name of Jesus. My life is marked by the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. My life is marked by the glory of God. Pray in the spirit. Subarakatalia. Shalabanda rapakataskaya.